In the year 2000, I went to Ethiopia for the first time. I had an opportunity through Melvin Curry and Bob Owen, who had gone the year before. Kind of a long story how they got there, but they were men in their 70s, and Melvin saw me and he said, "We need younger men to go." And so I didn't think much about that, but he called me in about a month and said, "Will you go?" And so I talked to my wife and elders at Castleberry, and they supported me to go, and I went. And my life and faith have never been the same since. Deepened and improved, I hope. So I want to talk a little this morning about our work in Ethiopia that I call Teaching Jesus and Touching Lives. So I want to begin with just kind of orienting you to where Ethiopia is. When I first went to Ethiopia, I didn't know where it was, really. And all I knew about it was that I had seen pictures of starving children. So Ethiopia is on the continent of Africa. I'm sure you know that, which is right there in the world. And if you're interested, that's 8,000 miles from where I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. So there's the continent of Africa, and you see Ethiopia there in the Horn of Africa. It is a landlocked nation, has no access to the sea. You have to go through a country named Djibouti to get to a port, which is some difficulty for Ethiopia. So there it is. Addis Ababa is the capital of Ethiopia. It is a words that mean pretty flower. Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. Here's some things about Ethiopia I thought you might be interested in. Its population is about 100 million people. The average income, when I first started going, it was a little over $100. That's $100 per person per year. And that has increased through the years. I found this morning, in fact, it's $500 per year per person. So the economy in Ethiopia is improving, not greatly, but it is improving. The national language is Amharic. And religion in Ethiopia, people are usually interested in that. 44% are Ethiopian Orthodox, similar to Greek Orthodox. 34% Muslim, 19% Protestant. That's where we would find ourselves in this group. So this is our 2012 countryside team. This is very similar to the team of people I take with me every year. On the left is Zerahun, a major player in the Ethiopian work. He's an educated man. He is a fine translator, and he is faithful to the Lord as the day is long. We couldn't do what we do without him. Alamu is a local preacher in Addis Ababa. Pat is Pat Underwood. I'll tell you a little more about her in a moment. Susan is my wife, Susan. Bienna is an Ethiopian, though he lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He came there about 9 years ago with the intention of staying 2 or 3 years, and so he's there, I think, to stay. His children came with him, and they're all completely acclimated to America. Mesfin is an Ethiopian preacher who also preaches in Addis, and he is a fine translator and a good preacher. So I'm going to tell you a little about some of the people that I work with. This is Pat Underwood. So when I went to Ethiopia the first time in 2000, I taught a ladies' Bible class in the afternoon. So I finished teaching the class, thought I did a pretty good job, gave a time for a question and answers, and Martha raised her hand. Martha, who is now the wife of Zerahun, she raised her hand and she said, "Can you bring ladies to Ethiopia to teach us?" Well, you know, I just finished teaching, and I thought I hadn't done that bad. But I learned that she was saying, "Can you bring somebody who understands ladies and can help us?" It took me a while to do that, but in the year 2002, I took Pat Underwood, and she became a real trooper. She went with me to Ethiopia 11 times, and she did great work. I'm going to show you some pictures. I have to tell you, however, this year has been a sad one for me. Our sister Pat passed away kind of unexpectedly last June of this year. She had breast cancer at the end of last year in August, had surgery and chemotherapy, thought that was all over and done with, but discovered at the end of April that it had metastasized to her liver, and then at the 1st of June she passed. So that's been difficult for me especially. She went with me 11 times. It takes 22 to 24 hours to get to Ethiopia each way. So we took 20 flights together, each about... You go through, you leave Dallas-Fort Worth. You actually fly north up to Nova Scotia and Greenland, Iceland, and down that way. You have to go to, if you fly Lufthansa, which we usually do, you go to Frankfurt, Germany, and then to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So about 23 hours in the plane. So you can imagine that we knew each other quite well. Here's some of the work that Pat did among ladies and children in Ethiopia. She's a great teacher, and she touched the lives of children. She's giving little gifts there. She's talking about Paul in prison to children in these photographs. She was known in the Ethiopia countryside by the nickname they gave her, the ladies gave her, Agape. And here's why. When she finished teaching, she would have this hut full of women, sometimes 100 or more. And she would stand at the door and she would hug every one of them as they came out the door. And she did that because, not because she had to. In fact, sometimes I told her we didn't have time for that and she would do it anyway. So she loved them and they loved her. This coming year in January, I'm going to take Susan and I'm going to take Pat's daughter, Jenny Tharp, who lives in Indianapolis, because I want to take women who know her so they can talk to and console and comfort the Ethiopian Christians. One final thing about her, she was so important to the work there that on the day of her funeral here in the United States, there were several funerals scattered throughout the Ethiopia countryside at various places. They had memorial services for her that day. Quite remarkable, don't you think? This lady always approached Pat. I think every year she found Pat and gave her a big hug. And then Susan, my wife, has gone with me two times, and she will be going back with me this coming year. And there she is teaching some city kids. They're much better dressed and in much better shape than most kids in Ethiopia. And here we are in the countryside. That's the way the women often situate themselves on the ground as they listen to teaching. And they brought some stickers. I can't remember what those stickers were, but they put them on their foreheads. And anything you give Ethiopians, they're very appreciative and just glad to have them. And you have to be careful about giving things out, because once you show them that, you're just mobbed by people, especially kids, wanting them. So here's Susan teaching children. And then, of course, I do work in Ethiopia. Here I am at Wunji. I've gone to Wunji 15 of the 16 times I've been to Ethiopia. I've been there quite often, see the same people. And so they're remaining faithful to the Lord. That's, by the way, that's the typical thing that happens. They construct a canvas in a particular village that we're going to that day, because there'll be more people than can be accommodated in their hut that they use as a meeting house. And usually the canvas belongs to the town, and they borrow it and erect it that day. And people come from faraway places, sometimes walking 6, 7, and 8 miles to come and be with us in our teaching. In this picture, we're using two translators. The national language is Amharic, but in the deep part of the countryside, there are many people, especially women, who are illiterate and only know a local language. They don't even know the national language of Amharic, so we have to use two translators, one to go from English to Amharic and one from Amharic to the local language. Sometimes we can have translators who can go from English to the local language, but not very often. So we're using two translators here. This is the most beautiful place I've ever preached before. It's in Tita. Getting to it is quite treacherous, going up the hillside and hoping you don't slide off down the cliff. This is a canvas, but people were spilled out far beyond the canvas. And on this occasion, I taught a lesson about the sower and the soils from Jesus' parable of the sowers. So my point was, if you were a seed, what kind of ground would you want to be placed in? Would you want to be placed on the rocky soil, the thorny soil, soil beside the road, or the good soil? Everybody's answer, of course, you want to be placed on the good soil. So if you're a seed and you want to be placed in good soil, then what kind of soil do you need to be? So in the course of that sermon, I took green bean seeds with me, seeds for Kentucky Wonder and Blue Lake green beans, and I gave them to someone who would take them and promise to plant them and grow the green beans for the people. I'm giving it to Dimica here. He's the local preacher there. And so in years after that, I go back and I ask them, and sometimes they even bring us green beans to eat that are grown from those beans. You can believe that they use them. And I think that helped reinforce the lesson I was trying to teach.
What's the climate like?
Yeah. It's close enough to the equator that it's about 75 degrees year-round. It's a beautiful climate. You wear a jacket in the morning. But it's dry most of the time. July and August are the rainy season in Ethiopia. In fact, we don't go there because you can't travel on the roads in those months. Other than that, it's a beautiful climate. So here they are at Tita, all spilled out from under the tent on the hillside. And it's up on a hill, and you can look out over the valley as the sermon progresses. This is Johannes Lambora. He preaches at Ancha. He is a fine man and a good, hardworking preacher. He is highly respected by the Ethiopians and has done good work. And that's his wife, Desalich. That's the door of their compound. This is Wubashet. He preaches at Kara in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So you see we're inside a house instead of a hut here because we're in the city. And so this past year, in 2016, this was the countryside team that I worked with, Randy Harshbarger and Marilyn from Nacogdoches, and Rebecca Shipley, also from there, I believe. She may be from Tyler, not exactly sure. So we worked there this last year in Ethiopia. So I thought I would share with you a couple of things that happened this past year that is really interesting. We went to Betawacho, and it was a place that was brand new. A new church had been established there. So there were contacts made through family members that resulted in several leading men who were a part of a denomination who embraced New Testament Christianity. And so that happened a few months back in 2015. Then in early 2016, Zerahun, who's the man who works with us and is so capable and wise and faithful, he went and taught them some basic doctrines in the early part of this year. And then he wanted us to go and work with him. So we got to work with this new group. No Americans had been to that place before to work with people in gospel work. So I got to do that. In fact, Randy was sick that day and had to stay at the hotel. And so only Rebecca and I went to Betawacho to work that day. I'm sorry, he went to Betawacho. We went to two places, and Shoney was the other that we went on the Lord's Day. So it was a nearby place, and the situation was the same. We were actually working with two groups, one at Betawacho and one at Shoney. Both were new setups, new churches. Rebecca was teaching women and children. And I was teaching the entire group of men, women, and children in the worship period. Following that, we had a time that we just had questions and answers. They wanted me to talk about worship, leading in worship, how to conduct worship. So I talked about some of the practicalities and I answered some questions. For example, we got to the Lord's Supper part. They were not accustomed to taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. So we got to that part and they had some cups and plate out there, but they didn't have the bread and they didn't have it prepared. So we waited till they got it prepared. So I just talked to them about the fact that, you know, you have to prepare that ahead of time and be ready and kind of think through the whole process of what you're going to do singing. And we take all that for granted, and they had to learn some things. So we did a good session, question and answers for them about leading in worship. And they had some good questions. And we took some Bibles. We always take Bibles for distribution. We stop at a bookstore on our way out of the city. We get Amharic Bibles and we take them. And there's a constant need. Now, we don't distribute them ourselves. Again, that doesn't turn out great. But we leave them with the local preachers who distribute them. We want everybody to have a Bible who wants one. So we keep taking them to Ethiopia. So I just made a little list of what we did at this place on the Lord's Day. We had Bible classes and Sunday worship and discussed with preachers and active men. They call them active men, leaders in the congregation. No congregation in Ethiopia has elders yet, which is something that we're working toward. And this coming year, Greg Perkins from San Antonio is going to go with me. He's an elder. And we're going to work with the congregations, especially that are closest to having elders, and try to move that process along and help them in that matter. And then we not only teach, but we try to touch lives. And I just made a little list here, some things. We get there early, usually, and I'm going to show some pictures a little later. Ethiopians come kind of trickling in, small group, usually children to begin with. Then it grows as the day goes on. Regardless of where you are, that's the way the crowd works. And so while all that's happening, I try to spend time with children, especially, and teach them how to fist bump. You know, that's popular in the United States, and they didn't know anything about that, so I kind of taught them that. So I can go down the row and do that to everybody. And then bringing women has been an important part of our work in Ethiopia. Pat and others who have gone have encouraged and emboldened Ethiopian women. Before we started taking women and their modeling for the Ethiopian ladies, no ladies taught children in a local church setting. It was all done by the preacher. And preachers generally don't know how to teach kids, not nearly like women do, who have the touch and the tenderness to do that effectively, and the understanding of children and nurturing. So that really helped the cause a great deal by bringing women from America. In fact, they tell us that their home lives have improved, relationships between men and women have improved, work of the local church has improved because of the teaching that Pat and others have done and the way they've modeled in Ethiopia. And then I think we've touched lives because we've come again and again. We return every year, and they know how far we come, and it costs a lot of money, and it's difficult. But we keep going back, and I think that touches and moves them. Every time we leave a village, an older man who's chosen by the group stands up. We wish we didn't have to do this, but he stands up and he gives long thanks for an appreciation for us, our family, our church family, and all the people who make it possible for us to go. They're so appreciative of our being there. So we not only teach Jesus, but I think we touch hearts and lives. We went to Wonka, and I brought this set of slides along because it kind of helps you envision what we do on a daily basis. So here's our mode of operation. We go to a town in the countryside that has a tourist hotel, they're called. And what that means is they have a shower. And the shower is usually something like this. It's a drain in the floor with a pipe that sticks out the wall and the faucets. No door, no curtain or anything like that. It's just in the bathroom. It's a drain and a pipe and faucets. And you may or may not have water, and you may or may not have hot water, but we go there and stay at those accommodations, and then every day we go to villages. So we might travel 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, 2 hours to come to a particular village who's hosting us for that day. And then people will come from the surrounding villages, and as I say, some will walk long distances to come and be with us. So we have a common assembly in the morning in which there's kind of like a devotional. I preach a short sermon. Then we divide into groups. Depending upon how many people I bring and how many translators we have women, children, and sometimes younger men and older men. We divide up into groups and we have classes, two classes that are 45 minutes each. And then everybody comes together again for the final assembly. So it's a day's worth of activity. We usually get there around 10 and leave about 3 in the afternoon. So I'm going to kind of lead you through that. This is Wonka. So we got there, and this is all the people who were there when we get there, mostly children. And so I would go out and talk to them and laugh and have a good time with them. But then the assembly begins, and the Americans sit at the front facing people. We hate that, but that's their custom, so we respect their customs and do what they want us to do. So we sit at the front and face each other. And then we have the devotional period. Here, this is Zerahun, who's translating for me. He's an excellent translator, as well as being a fine and faithful man. Then we divide into classes. This is Marilyn Harshberger teaching children. This is Randy teaching the men. And this is Rebecca Shipley teaching children. She and Marilyn trade off teaching women and children. Sometimes they're together because we don't have places to go four different places. And then at the end of the day, we come together again for an assembly, and here I am preaching the sermon. Zerahun again is translating for me. So here's how the day begins, but little by little people come. So for the first assembly, we have kind of a smaller group. Then for the classes, we have a medium group. By the time the day ends, we have a large group of people who are there for the final assembly. And what's happening is people are walking, and the roads are treacherous, and they come different distances, and they encounter a lot of things on the road. Driving on the roads in Ethiopia, which I would never do, we use a driver, and it's quite an experience. So if you come upon a place where you don't want to pass, you just go off the road, you know, and out in the ditch, or there is no ditch, so you just go out in the field and go as far as you can and come back on the road. Or if there's a truck or bus, and there are a lot of them, and you want to pass on the left, you pass on the left, pass on the right, just honk your horn and go. The rule of the road in Ethiopia is honk your horn, and whoever's the bravest goes first. There might be goats and cows and people, and you have to dodge all those things on the roads. But then we're ready to leave, and leaving, there's always the press of people. They want us to stay, and of course we have to leave and do other work the next day. So the press of people as we leave. I have a lesson I teach sometimes called Some Things I Learned from Working in Ethiopia, and one of those things is that we complain too much in America. So here's what happens in Ethiopia. We go to a place, people walk 7 or 8 hours to come and hear us. They sit on the ground while they listen, and then they ask us to stay longer and teach more. Whereas in America, we come in climate-controlled cars to climate-controlled buildings and padded pews, and we bring in speakers from other places in the United States, and we just travel a few miles, and you can't get people to come to gospel meetings and things like that. So I have to work on myself when I come back and remind myself I'm not in Ethiopia. I live in America, and so I have to take our situation as it is. But I do know we complain too much. Without a doubt. Paul said, do all things without grumbling and disputing. So here are some ways that we try to touch lives. The Ethiopians, as all people, as a matter of fact, like stories. And so I tell stories and use illustrations. And I always try to work with a translator on the way to where I'm preaching or teaching to make sure the story or the illustration works. They all don't work. Sometimes they say, oh, that's not going to go in Ethiopia. They won't understand. The two hardest things to do in Ethiopia teaching is, number one, ask a question. You have to set it up to say, I am asking a question and want an answer. Because you just can't ask it and have the translator and people respond. They don't get that because of the translation. The other difficult thing is to tell something that's funny. You almost have to say, okay, I'm telling something funny and I want you to laugh to get it to work. So those things are difficult in translation. We try to greet them in their language so we know a few words. Tuma Fayowa would be one that we would use, or Tuma Fayakata, depending upon whether we were in Kimbata or Hadea region. So the Ethiopians will say, okay, where we're going today, you say Tuma Fayakata. And when I get up and say that, people just laugh and grin. I guess it's my accent, or no, it's really the fact that they're pleased that we try to make that connection with them. And we sing songs with them when we can. So I think we have time maybe to do this. I'm going to try this. If this doesn't work, we'll just stop it. But this is a song that I have learned in Amharic, and I have printed it out in phonetic so that you can help me. Yameskin is a word for Lord, Yameskin. And Geta is another word for Lord. So this song is about praise God, He unites us. Praise God, He made us know one another. He made us relatives. He demolished the wall of hatred with His blood. So I'm going to demonstrate for you, and we're going to try to sing it. And the Ethiopians will be pleased with this when I tell them. I teach them a few songs in English. Hallelujah is a word that they know, and amen is a word they know. And so I have taught them how to sing the song Alleluia, Alleluia. So this goes, Ye Meskin Geta Adadarajan, Geta Ya Meskin Ya Stama Woken, Amlak Ya Meskin Ya Zamamadin, Ye Lidigida Badumu Ya Fasaralin. So notice the endings of the second line, Jin, Woken, Den and Lynn, so they rhyme like we do in our songs in America. So let me demonstrate one more time. Yameskan, that's Yameskin, that's the word for Lord. Yameskan geta andadarajin. Geta Yameskan Yasawaroken. Amlak Yameskan Yazamamadin. Yel Gidigida Badumu Yafasaralin. All right, will you try it with me? Ye Meskin Geta Adadarajan. Geta Yameskan Yastawawoken. Amlak Yameskan Yazazamadin. Yedo Gidigida Badumu Yafarasalin. One more time. Ye Meskin Geta Andadarajan. Geta Yameskan Yastawawoken. Amlak Yameskan Yazamamadin. Yel Gidigida Badumu Yafarasalin. All right, a little heartier. The Ethiopians will be pleased. This is a song they love, by the way. Ye Meskin Geta Adadarajan. Geta Yameskan Yastawawoken. Amlak Yameskan Yazamamadin. Yergirigida Badumu Yafarasalin. Thank you for doing that with me today. They'll be thrilled. We're trying to learn that at Castleberry Church, by the way, and I'm going to record it in some way when I go to Ethiopia so I can play it for them, and they'll be absolutely thrilled. Another thing we do, another facet of our work, is that we teach preachers. They have precious few resources. They have Bibles, and really for study materials, that's about it. We try to get them concordances in Amharic and other resources, but they're few and far between in their language. So we have workshops on how to lead in worship, how to preach, how to prepare sermons. So here's a workshop that I did in the countryside. We bring in these preachers. There are about 50 of them in this particular setting. And I spent 3 days with them talking about leading in worship. So we went through making announcements, leading singing, reading scripture, sermons, preparing and serving the Lord's Supper. We just went through everything so they can improve the quality of their worship. I thought this was an interesting, this is their hat rack. As the men go in this place where we're having the workshop, they hang their hats on the fence outside, their canes and umbrellas. So this is in the city. I repeated the same thing with the preachers in Addis Ababa as well. There were about 30 of those that we had the workshop on leading in worship in the city. So we talked about purpose and enthusiasm, skill, organization, preparation, minimizing distractions. That's something you have to work at in Ethiopia because you might have a goat to visit you any day in your worship. Planning their preaching, I talked to them about that and about being stewards of their time and ability. Finally, this is Wunji, the place that I visited 15 times, and I remember well the first time I went there, and some of the people that are still there, have been there every time, and I've seen some of the children grow up and get married and have children of their own during the years. This is Lambora. He's the local preacher there. He's been there the whole time, and we support him at Castleberry Church, as a matter of fact. He's about 47 or 8. This is something I learned from the Ethiopians. Just spontaneously, often in their closing prayer, everybody gets down on their knees and they bow down and pray. And at Castleberry Church, occasionally we do that too. Anybody who wants to, we get down on our knees and pray. And I've told the Ethiopians that, and they're quite pleased to hear that we learned that from them and do it. So, children here were especially well behaved. I made that observation. So, I end this morning by saying, here are some things I know from working in Ethiopia that we don't appreciate the ability to have hot water immediately and consistently. Sometimes we have to take what we call bucket baths, where you just pour the water over you. So, this year, the hotel told me that they would bring me some warm water in a bucket. So I asked them to do it at 7:30 in the morning. So 9:30 that night, I got it. So I used it because that was all I was going to get. So I've learned that Ethiopian roads, while many are improved, are still have a long way to go, rough roads. And the travel there is quite difficult. Here's just one picture of some road we've been on. I've learned that Ethiopians are humble, affectionate, and appreciative people. They're so warm and wonderful people. We always enjoy being around them, greeting them and loving them. And I've learned that my friend Zerahun is wise and hardworking, and he's extremely valuable in the gospel work in Ethiopia. For several years, I've been trying to help him get a house built, and it's almost finished. I told him I would try to help contact enough people to help him have the money to do that, and so we've just about completed that work, and we're thankful for that. He said about June of next year, he'll be finished with his house. There he is. And this is the last thing that I've learned, that to say God bless you in Ethiopia is Exabir Yameskin. And I think that's just the best sounding, noblest way of praising God that I've ever heard. Exabir Yemeskin. And so we say that a lot when we go to Ethiopia. Exabir Yemeskin. So may God continue to give increase from our efforts there. I know Randy works in Philippines, and you've seen some slides of his work. So I talked to him and the other elders and thought that this might enlighten and encourage you to know that other such works are going on in other places in the world, and God is giving great increase. So thank you for your time, and hope you'll continue to be interested in and pray for these works as we preach the gospel of Jesus.
Thank you.
You're welcome.